Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Pasta is a staple food of traditional Italian cuisine, but it transcends ethnic borders. It comes in all shapes and sizes and works well as the main course or side dish. It's typically a noodle made from unleavened durum wheat flour, but there are variations on that theme, and it comes dried or fresh. The possibilities are nearly endless with pasta. Chef Jim Rua owns Cafe Capriccio in downtown Albany, a fixture in the capital region's restaurant scene. His mission is to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality. He's authored two cookbooks, and his travels to Italy continually inspire the menu. Chef Dan Smith is the owner of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont, Massachusetts. His specialty is locally grown or raised food cooked with seasonal ingredients and Italian regional influences. He's a pioneer in the farm-to-table movement of the Berkshires and beyond, and is a member of Berkshire Farm and Table, an organization that promotes regional food culture in the Berkshires. So if you're a pasta lover, this is the show. The word pasta itself is very relaxing. It's a calming word. Pasta. Now, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC radio. You will see a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But by all means, call. It makes for an interesting program. When it's a call-in show, that helps. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Rua, Chef Smith, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you, sir.
Are you sure? All right. So this is a fun show. Pasta is a big deal. And I must confess, before we start taking calls, I'm bad at it. All right? I overcook pasta. So depending on the kind of pasta, let's just say a generic pasta, how long are you supposed to cook the stuff?
I think you should answer that.
Oh, all right.
All right. Chef Rua will answer.
Yeah. Of course, it varies. Dry pasta would typically be cooked in 8 minutes to 12 minutes.
Boiling?
Boiling. Salted water, depending upon the thickness and the cut. For example, a pasta called rigatoni, for example,
yeah, yeah.
which is a short tubular pasta with ridges, would typically take more time. Let's say a good pasta would take 12 minutes to cook.
Okay.
Dan, you'll correct me on this, yes.
Whereas, no fights between the chefs.
No.
I've had to do this, break these up before. No.
Whereas spaghetti, for example, would take much less time, say 8 minutes, and a thinner variety of string pasta, such as angel hair, might take 4 minutes,
yeah.
3 minutes. And then fresh pasta could take 30 seconds to a minute and a half.
When you guys cook in your restaurant, do you find someone who says, well, you know, I like it mushy. I don't like it. Al dente, is that how they say it?
Yes.
They want it mushy. My kids like it a little mushier.
And generally, they want it al dente.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what we find.
Jim, you have written a couple of books, and one here has caught my eye, the Pasta Lover's Fast Food Cookbook. And this seems perfect. This would, for someone on the go or with a lot of kids, this seems like the perfect idea. What inspired this book?
You know, it was a lark, really. What I did in this book was to create pasta recipes using the traditional Mediterranean, say, dietary principles and also cooking techniques, create pasta dishes from supermarket shelves. And I also look in this book, I look into the into supermarkets and conclude that they are the land of milk and honey and a paradise for pasta lovers. So, my idea was to give new meaning to the notion of fast food with pasta and then foods from supermarkets, including canned foods,
yeah,
and fresh foods as well, or dairy products and everything that you find in supermarkets.
Why don't you guys give me, before we take the calls, and we have calls on the line already at 1-800-348-2551. All right, we're going to attempt at home rigatoni this weekend.
Okay.
Give me a fast recipe, quick.
You want to tackle that one and I'll get the next?
Oh, sure. Okay, rigatoni. So rigatoni is a sturdy pasta demanding a sauce that has substance and also some liquid. In other words, I wouldn't make rigatoni with just, say, olive oil and garlic, because you need some substance. So let's do something with fresh tomatoes. Very, very simple. Very simple. Olive oil, garlic, fresh tomatoes cut. Don't blanch them. Don't peel them. Fresh tomatoes cut. Olive oil, garlic. You're going to saute garlic for 1 minute, let's say.
Yeah.
You're going to saute in olive oil. You're going to introduce fresh chopped tomatoes. And you're going to cook those tomatoes for not more than 2 minutes.
All right.
And you're going to time this so that the sauce, let's say 3 minutes worth, this is very fresh sauce, right, will be done at the time when the rigatoni is finished, which is going to take you 12 minutes if you use one of the better brands.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. So that sounds very easy.
It's that simple.
Don't get a can, a jar of sauce off the shelf. Cut the tomatoes, chop them, some garlic.
Yes.
And keep it simple.
Unless I make the sauce in the jar.
Especially this time of year, fresh tomatoes. Use fresh tomatoes.
What about the seeds in tomatoes? I thought they were very acid. It's okay to leave them in?
I would. I don't eliminate seeds ever.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Chef Jim Rua of Cafe Capriccio in Albany and Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont, Massachusetts. Sheila in Massachusetts, you're first.
Hi. This is a very timely show for me because I was literally just taking out eggs from my fridge to make fresh pasta for my daughter's birthday dinner.
Okay.
And my question is, the last time I tried this, it was a humid day, and the pasta, fresh pasta, came out really sticky and goopy, and I basically had to just throw it out. I'm wondering, does humidity affect, should you not try to make fresh pasta on a humid day? And also, is there any other tips that you can give me to avoid that particular thing happening?
Dan, you want to go first?
Sure. Humidity does affect it. Obviously, the flour is going to absorb some of the moisture and the humidity. One way to start it, troubleshooting, is actually start with less eggs, and you can always add a little bit more eggs when you're making your pasta dough, so you get to a point that it's in the crumbly state versus really wet and sticky.
So it's preferable to err on the crumbly versus sticky?
Yeah, you can always add a little bit more egg.
Okay.
You know, like if it calls for four, you can take the fifth egg or the fourth egg and just mix it up and add it a little bit of at a time.
And should it be beaten before you add it?
You can, just to secure that you're not adding a whole egg when you don't need all of it.
Okay.
On a humid day. Or you can add, instead of another egg, just add a small amount of water to bring it to bring it together.
Wow.
So it's still dry. Not really dry, but crumbly.
No, I would only add that, and of course you would also add flour as necessary to get the right texture. You know, it's very simple when you look at a recipe for pasta. It just includes flour, either water or egg, and very little else, a little salt sometimes. But it's an art form, nevertheless, and it has to do with understanding, getting a feel for the texture of pasta. And that's, I think, what the caller is interested in. So if your pasta is sticky, add some flour and continue kneading it until you get that that texture, which would constitute, you know, the something that I think you'd recognize when you see it.
Sheila, thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
In your kitchens, are you concerned about humidity? Is it climate-controlled all the time, or do you just, well, it's humid today, I'm going to change the recipe a little bit?
You have to adjust to the humidity. We actually have finally a prep kitchen where we can turn on the air conditioner so we can control it a little bit, but not completely climate controlled.
Yes, no, not completely climate controlled. In fact, we have a restaurant also in Saratoga where we have a wood-fired oven, which is very near the line, the cooking station, and also where we prepare dough for pizza and pasta, and we just have to acclimate to that. There's nothing you can do if it's 108 degrees in your kitchen. That's what you got to work with.
And so it's basically a feel thing, and you guys are now to the point where you can just tell.
Yeah.
What about the
average? You know how to make adjustments is the point. We can tell that we need to make this adjustment or that adjustment.
Is over the store counter dried pasta sufficient at times?
Absolutely.
Not for your restaurant, but let's say the average Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really good quality dried pastas out there.
Is there really bad pasta? Can you tell the difference, the average person?
Well, let me say a couple of questions. One is for our restaurants. You know, in my restaurant in Albany, Cafe Capriccio, we use homemade fresh pasta.
Yeah.
But that's not typical. That's not typical, even in fine restaurants. And it's certainly not typical in Italy. Homemade fresh egg pasta is associated with regional cuisine. It's also associated with special occasions. But in most restaurants in Italy and here, the pasta is dried pasta. Now, in Saratoga, where we have a restaurant called Capriccio Saratoga, we use dry pasta exclusively. In Saratoga, we're focused on what we think is authentic Neapolitan cuisine, typically dried pasta.
Ah.
Yes. In Albany, we have regional Italian cooking with a sort of Tuscan influence, and we've chosen to use fresh pasta. But that's not typical.
Very interesting. We are joined today by Chef Jim Rua of Cafe Capriccio and Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont. Number to call, 1-800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. More calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from the Bee's Knees Cafe, Preston Hollow, New York, serving grass-fed meats raised right on the farm with views of the Catskill Mountain fall foliage, heather-ridge-farm.com. Sundog Cider at Sulaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. Taste of New Paltz, 24th Annual Festival, offering tastes from regional restaurants, wineries, farm markets and craft beer, plus live music and crafts, Sunday, Ulster County Fairgrounds, newpaltzchamber.org. And TIAA Craft Financial Services, TIAA.org for more information, TIAA Craft Individual and Institutional Services, LLC, and Teachers Professional Investors Services, Inc.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but the fun drive is coming up in early October. And it is actually a lot of fun, and we love connecting with you and taking your calls. But there's one way you can shorten the fun drive, and that's make your pledge now at the lockbox at our website, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. You make your pledge now. Whatever we raise between now and the beginning of the fun drive, it comes off of the total we need to raise. So it's a great way to shorten the drive. We usually shorten it by a couple of days thanks to you. And the website is WAMC.org, where you can find more information about Chef Rua and Chef Smith and some of the recipes mentioned on the show today, WAMC.org. All right, guys, the calls are coming in fast and furious. Let's begin with the calls in earnest. Barbara in Monticello. Barbara, you're up.
Hi. I was wondering, are there any recipes that you could incorporate ground quinoa in the dough, a portion of it? I know it's a seed, so it won't act the same way in the dough, but has that been done?
Hang on. Is your mic on, Dan?
I hope so.
No, it's not. Zach, if you would do the... Yeah, now it's on. Go ahead, Dan.
I got shut off. Come on.
He usually does that to me. He does it on purpose.
You can... I'd never done it myself, but I'm sure you can take a recipe like buckwheat pasta, which has... buckwheat has very little gluten in it, it's a combination of buckwheat flour and regular gluten flour. And you can do that combination of, say, 1 to 3 quinoa to flour, so you still have some gluten in it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you pretty much, if you were making it fresh, that's what you need to do with the egg and a touch of olive oil. Otherwise, I know there are quinoa pastas in, dried quinoa pastas out there.
I prefer to do it myself if I can. And I use... I make my own bread almost daily. So I have vital gluten in the house. So I can add that to it as well. Okay, so just use the buckwheat recipe. Thanks.
Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate the call. Jim, you want to add to that?
No, that was a comprehensive explanation.
Well done. All right, let's go over to Sergio and Colony. You're on.
Hello. I'd like to say hello to Jim Rua, and on behalf of the Diana family, it's been a wonderful relationship that we've had with you, and if anyone wants to eat real Italian, I'm going to give you a plug. This is the place, Capriccio.
Okay.
How are you, Jim?
Sergio. Thank you.
Paid endorsement, Sergio.
Not paid at all.
All right.
Love to your family. Love to your family and to you, brother.
Thank you very much. Jim, I was wondering if it would be possible somehow to get you a recipe for lamb ossobuco.
Lamb ossobuco, yes. Well, it's a little complicated. I mean, I would... First, we start with lamb shanks. I'll try to make this as simple as possible. Lamb shanks, I would grill them quickly, Sarah.
Oh, grill them.
I would grill them. Yeah. The second part of this. So two parts. One is you have to cook the lamb shanks in some way, and grilling them is the first would be the way I would propose to do it most expeditiously. Then you have to create the sauce, which is going to be. Primarily wine. So I'm going to put aromatic vegetables like caramelized onions, celery, carrots, some garlic perhaps, a bit of tomato paste.
Okay.
Flour and wine.
Flour and wine.
Bring the sauce to a consistency that is, relatively light, and then braise the lamb shanks for a couple of hours in that sauce. Then adjust the sauce.
All righty.
Okay, brother.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Sergio.
Bye-bye.
And by the way, if you hear a recipe on this program that one of the guys mentions or details, we do have an audio archive of the program, and it'll be up within about 10 or 15 minutes after the show ends at WAMC.org. So you can always play it back and give it a listen. Anna in Glens Falls. Anna, you're on.
Yes, I was wondering, I make homemade pasta. Often, I just made some yesterday. How long can I keep it once it's dried?
It'll usually last 3-4 days refrigerated. One way to actually, it'll start to oxidize a little bit. It'll start to change colors just from the air getting to it. So if you're making just fresh egg pasta, it'll maybe start changing.
Once it's dried, it will still change color?
If you're using, are you using fresh egg? It'll probably, if you dry it completely, it won't. I didn't realize that you're actually just drying it. It should last longer than 3 or 4 days if you're drying it.
Okay, and then once I dry it, I can put it in bags and freeze it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551 is the number on this Food Friday. We're joined by Chef Jim Rua of Cafe Capriccio in downtown Albany. What's the name of the shop up in Saratoga?
Capriccio Saratoga.
All right. And Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Vicki in Pittsfield. Vicki, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering if you talk about whole wheat pasta and multi-grain pasta. They don't serve it in a lot of restaurants, and we wondered why, and also we wanted your opinion on, why that would be.
I think a lot of it is with the gluten aspect of it. Also, the texture, it's more difficult to work with whole grain pastas.
Why?
It doesn't have the gluten in it, so it doesn't hold together as well.
Oh.
So whole grain pasta is gluten-free?
No, it's not gluten-free. You have to work it differently. If you're using whole wheat flour or buckwheat flour, it does react differently than ground.
Yes. Also, I would say also the many of the traditional Italian recipes aren't compatible with the whole grain pastas. In addition to the textural issues. So
why are they not compatible?
Well, I'm saying that clam sauce and buckwheat pasta, for example, is not traditional. They don't sort of go together so easily. People are not accustomed to it as well. That is not to say that there isn't a place for whole grain pastas in Italian cuisine. But I am saying that traditionally, the whole grains have not been utilized.
Okay, and do you use any?
No, no.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, okay. Are you talking to him?
That's well, okay. No, I mean, both of you. So you don't, you do, Vicky, but Jim does not.
Not typically.
Right, I generally do it with vegetables, like a pasta primavera and olive oil, because I can't really have tomato sauce. And, you know, I can't do the whole wheat anymore, but I can do the multigrain, which tastes pretty good.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Vicky, thanks a lot for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Right, just a point about that. Yeah. There are very good commercial whole grain products.
Yeah, I've seen them all pasta aisle all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I don't know if we've ever tried them. But
so I'm not disparaging that. I'm just saying that traditionally we don't think of that in my restaurant anyway.
That's Chef Jim Rua of Cafe Capriccio, also joined today by Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont. Number to call here on Food Friday is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Laura in East Greenbush. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I watched a television program the other night, and they were giving a demonstration on making sauce for a spaghetti dish called Altropovisa. My Italian is terrible. But it's made with small tomatoes, almonds, basil, ground up in a blender. And then at the end, it's served on rigatoni, and Gran Padano cheese is shredded over the top of it. Are you familiar with that?
Don't all jump at once.
Well, no, but that sounds to me like a recipe for a pasta that I associate with the Sicilian cuisine. Sometimes called pesto trapanese. Could that be what you're describing?
Yeah, that's it, trapanese.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
right.
from Trapani, which is a town in the north of Sicily.
Oh, yeah. Well, how much of each? Because they just talked about maybe a pint of tomatoes thrown in a blender, but I didn't get the amounts of almonds or basil.
All right, is this a dish you might try or have tried?
I could do this, but it's hard to say how much. You'd have to look at the consistency of the tomatoes. A lot of times I say, you know, in writing recipes, for example, we have to use common sense. So almonds would be almonds to taste, you know. Yeah. How do you
okay.
feel about almonds? Certainly herbs require the same kind of response. So you, if basil is an indicated herb, you would put an amount of basil that would appeal to you.
Okay.
And you have to think about proportions.
And these are small tomatoes that he used.
Yeah.
Would I heat that sauce up? Is that something
you'd
cook it down a little bit?
Yes, you would. The Italians call that pomodorini, small tomatoes, little tomatoes.
Okay, and what is that, a cheese that's readily available? Gran Padano?
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to Parmesan, but Parmesan Reggiano is classified. It can only be made in the region of
Parma, yeah.
Yeah, Parma, which I'm blanking.
Okay. Emilia.
And the other Parmesan cheese outside that region is called Gran Padano.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an excellent cheese.
Okay, I'll try getting it at Honest Weight. Maybe they'll have it.
Yeah, they will have it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
It'll cost you $2 less a pound than Reggiano Parmesan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's good.
Great.
And just a side note, a spaghetti that emulates the traditional spaghetti is Jerusalem artichoke. It's a very nice spaghetti, and it's similar to the traditional type.
Very good.
All right. Well, thanks, Laura. We appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It is Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. We talk pasta today with Chef Jim Rua and Chef Dan Smith. And Dan, at the John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant, you have done a lot of farm-to-table stuff. And what ingredients will you typically use that are sourced very locally?
Anything from meats to vegetables, dairy, cheeses, obviously. So for the pasta dishes right now, I'm using local mushrooms with braised duck, both coming locally.
Mm.
We make our own pasta, so local eggs. The other ones, we make ricotta out of local dairy and make our own ricotta gnocchi, serve it with local roasted tomatoes. And actually, our Swiss chard from our own garden, and if not from a local farm.
Nice. Yeah. The farm-to-table restaurant really growing now in the Berkshires and everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. You know, we talked about cheese just in that last call, and cheese such an important part of so many recipes. We're going to try baked ziti. And my wife said, you got to get ricotta, and you got to get mozzarella. And she said, you got to get a big mozzarella and a little ricotta. She never told me how many ounces. So I'm walking through the store just trying to give me a ratio in ounces that I can understand for a standard size baked ziti.
Hmm.
For how many people?
Yeah.
Seven. Well, I got five kids, so seven altogether.
All right. So yeah. A couple pounds of pasta, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. A couple pounds of pasta?
Yeah.
So you're going to...
I think she layers it with cheese and everything else, and
right.
meat and everything
okay,
else.
Okay, you're going to cook the pasta first?
Yeah.
All right, so ziti, right? So you're going to cook the ziti, let's say, for 8 minutes. It's still going to be firm.
Yeah.
Al dentissimo, in other words.
All right. Extra al dente.
Extra al dente, okay. Right? Now you've made the sauce. So now you're going to layer it in a casserole, for example. Okay, good. I would say... For 2 pounds of pasta, if you had 8 ounces of ricotta cheese that are spread equally, let's say in the middle, and what is the other cheese you mentioned, right?
Mozzarella.
Oh, mozzarella.
And we're going to use ground beef as well.
Okay, so but that'll be in the sauce. The beef will be in the sauce.
Yep.
So you're going to make a meat sauce with ground beef.
Yep.
All right. So if you had 8 ounces of ricotta cheese, that would be
enough.
As much or more than you need.
Okay.
Yeah, certainly not more. And then for the grated mozzarella, 6 ounces, I would say.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing. But you'd also look, and if it appears to be too much ricotta, for example, just cut it back.
Okay.
You don't want it to be soupy. One of the things that we're allowing for in the suggestion I made to you about cooking time with the pasta is for the pasta to absorb additional liquids. You're gonna bake that ziti, right? You're not gonna cook it thoroughly in the water. Remember that dry pasta cooks by absorbing liquid.
So if it's fully saturated before you put it in the oven,
it's going to be mushier, right?
Brilliant. See, okay. That's why you're on the show. Let's go to Mark in Springfield. Mark, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I had a quick question about carbonara.
Okay.
With the traditional style. I've heard different things. I made it at home. And I've always wondered what the best consistency is using pork, whether it be bacon or doing lardone style, where you cut the fat off and then you boil it and then crisp it up, or the cheeks of the pig.
Traditionally, for carbonara, you would use either pancetta, which is belly bacon.
Pancetta, yeah.
Or guanciale, which are the cheeks, the guanciale. These are two cured pork products, guanciale or pancetta. But, of course, you could use bacon as well. I mean, it's okay to use bacon. But I know if you go to...
Yeah, bacon doesn't give it the right style.
No, well, so therefore, it's going to be hard for you to come up to find a guanciale. But you can buy pancetta in any of the Italian markets.
I know. There's a place up in Northampton, Mass, Provisions, that does carry guanciale.
Oh, all right. Good.
Yeah. Okay, great. And one more question about the egg. Now, with the mixture of the egg, it's just yolk, right?
Correct. Right towards the end of the tossing the pasta with the sauce, add the yolk for the consistency.
Okay, because there's just so many different versions I've read about, and it just seems like everyone's got one version or a different one.
Yeah.
So, okay. Great. Right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, Mark. We appreciate the call. The number to call here on Vox Pop is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Chef Rua, what's the most popular dish at Cafe Capriccio?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Put you on the spot.
Pasta dish?
In general, your most popular dish.
I'll give you one that is very esoteric, and after 30 plus years, I'm going to have to say this is Well, I'm going to give you two. One is a pasta dish. One, squid and ink, which we call calamari neri, which is sepia with the ink of the squid.
Ah.
So we make a sauce with the ink of the squid. The Spaniards and Latinos do calamari sin su tinta, would be an example, but not with pasta. We do it with pasta. The second most popular dish that comes to my mind is eggplant with four cheeses, which is egg-battered eggplant, which is topped with a light tomato sauce and a mixture of four cheeses, which is very delicious. And it's something that is a signature dish for us and has been for 30 years.
You know, next time you're on the show, you could bring that if you wanted to.
yeah,
a couple of plates.
I'll bring it for right.
Yeah, there
three,
you go.
Three
How about you,
forks.
Dan? What's your most popular dish over at John Andrews Farmhouse?
It varies a little bit, but we have duck is one of our mainstays on our menu.
Mm.
We do vary the ingredients that we put with it as far as what's in season.
And it's tricky to make duck well.
Yeah, we do serve it two ways. The leg is confit and the breast is seared. Well, it's cooked to order, but also to temperature, what you're liking.
Hmm.
Prefer it medium rare or rare, but...
That's Chef Dan Smith, and we're also joined by Chef Jim Rua. It's Vox Pop. We've talked pasta here on the program, and we will continue to do so right after we take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Ackerman's Appliance Hudson, for 37 years, a locally owned dealer of appliance brands such as Sub-Zero, Wolf, Blue Star, Bosch, and more. Showroom on Warren Street, ackermansappliance.net. Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. around City Hall, schenectadygreenmarket.org. And Jeff Scales, independent socially responsible investments, securities, and advisory services offered through the Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor, jsafinancial.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, and the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Back to the phones we go. It's Kernan in Granville. I hope I have your name right.
Well, the name is Kernan, and I live in Glenville.
Oh, well, all right. Close enough. You're on anyway.
I'm on. Hey, good afternoon.
Hello.
Every once in a while, I tell my wife, I'm going to make homemade pasta. And she looks at me and she says, what?
Okay. And how's that working out for you?
I haven't done it yet. What do you suggest? Should I roll it up by hand, go out and buy a $150 machine, or forget it?
All right. Now, that sounds like a question you guys can handle.
Is it pasta, is it for you and your wife? Or?
Well, if it's good, if it's good, we'll serve other people. But if it's kind of
Oh, for
funny,
starters, yeah, maybe without a machine. Nice rolling pin.
Yeah.
If the dough's soft enough, you can actually roll it fairly thin. There's a couple of different pastas. There's handmade spaghetti. It's called peachy. Mm. You could cut it with a pizza cutter to do fettuccine that way. Or even just irregular shapes, which is called malfatti, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
No, that's right,
So, or which is translated to badly made pasta.
Badly made, yeah.
I found a little tool in the basement here, and it looks like a farmer's harrow. It has little rollers about an eighth of an inch apart.
All right.
Little handle on it, too. You just drag that across the dough, hey?
Well, I don't know. What do you think, gentlemen?
With wheels or harrow?
wheels.
Well, it must be an adjustable, like, you know, pastry or pasta cutter.
I don't know what it is. I thought, I can make spaghetti with this. But so how thin do you make it? Do you make it with semolina flour or just ordinary?
You can do both. Maybe for starters, just use good quality organic all-purpose flour.
Aha.
Yeah, that's going to be easier than semolina, yeah. Which will be harder for you to knead into the appropriate consistency. Okay. So if you were to introduce semolina, you might use a mixture, for example.
And then maybe the next step is, if you have an electric mixer, you can get a pasta attachment to it instead of going out and getting a hand crank machine.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So. Okay.
Okay, well, I'll give it a try, and we'll see what happens next.
Hey, listen, do me a favor and call us and let us know how you did. If it leads to divorce, don't call. But otherwise.
Oh, it will never lead to divorce. That is impossible.
Well, all right. Well, good luck with your pasta endeavors. I appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. So what does a pasta machine do? I've never even seen one before. You can buy them, I guess, presumably at a...
Yeah, you can buy a really small one, what, 6 inches wide? You have two rollers, and you adjust it, so you keep rolling down.
Is it like a bread machine, but it cuts the dough into strips? Or
first, it's a machine that adjustable rollers that you keep bringing the thickness down to really thin, whatever the thickness is. It basically will make a sheet, and then you can cut it into whatever pasta you would like.
So this is after you've made the mixture, so yes. It doesn't do that for you.
Yes, no, but the roller is very important for determining the texture. You need to roll the dough that you've mixed and allowed to rest in order to determine or to create the texture for the pasta that you're looking to make. And that is accomplished in the final stage with the roller. So these little machines will roll, flat wide pieces, which are then cut by the same machine into spaghetti or tagliatelle or whatever the shapes would be.
Or as my kids like, shaped like SpongeBob.
Okay.
And that's what they get a lot of that. So I take it there's some serious nuance involved. In other words, your first time, it probably won't come out that good.
No.
It's been failures.
Have you had failures as well?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
All right. And are you willing to own up to any failures, Jim?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Right, and it's even fun to fail and say,
it's actually a great learning aspect of it. You're like, okay, well,
yeah, this
definitely
one didn't
we'll
work.
Make a note of that and we'll do that again.
We all do that. This didn't work.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Bill in Albany. Bill.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm calling because my wife is a very good cook. She makes an excellent homemade pasta sauce. But inevitably, when it comes time to make meatballs, inevitably they fall apart. Hmm. And she uses eggs, and she uses the meatball mix. Any suggestion before this leads to a divorce?
Bill. Are you adding, I'm not sure the meatball mix, but are you adding a little bit of breadcrumbs for binder?
I believe she is.
So either, maybe more egg, more breadcrumbs if it's falling apart. I don't know what your actual ratio is.
I would say you should be able to tell if it's falling apart before you cook them. So you want something firm. Nevertheless, the meatballs also have to, can't be hard, they need to be firm. And that's accomplished with a combination of the meat that you use, breadcrumbs or whole bread that would be soaked and then squeezed dry, and eggs.
Soaked in what?
Milk or water, even sure, or breadcrumbs. But I would try the whole bread as an alternative to breadcrumbs, given your dilemma. Okay, but it has to be dried. So you soak it, get some Italian bread, crusty bread, soak it, squeeze it dry, and then mix it throughout the meat. The meat mixture or the meat that you're using. With herbs and other seasonings like garlic, for example, and cheese. And again, you should be able to tell when you roll the meatball whether the substance will adhere together.
Mm. Bill?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Do you guys ever make sausage meatballs? I love those. Is it more difficult to make those?
No.
No? All right, let's go to Paul in Saratoga Springs. Paul.
Yeah, good afternoon. I had a question about the type of semolina flour that you use for pasta. I purchased semolina flour before. It was really gritty, almost like a cornmeal. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if there were different different types of semolina that you would use for the pasta.
Well, here's the thing. If you're making handmade pasta, you cannot use, as a rule, you cannot use semolina only. It's too hard. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you would use a combination. Just, I'm going to say half and half. With other ingredients that would be typical, such as, I'm going to say the rule of thumb, the simplest rule of thumb is a cup of flour and a very large egg. And then, but you have to adjust this depending on the results, because even the eggs are going to be different no matter mm-hmm. what. Okay? So if you're doing only semolina pasta, you should use a machine. You should mix it in a machine, because you're not going to be able to get what you want, you know, with your just by kneading with your hands.
Gotcha. That coarse texture, that is typical of semolina flour.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's hard. It's hard wheat, and remember that the pasta, the best pastas, dry pastas, are pastas that are very, very firm.
Mm-hmm.
After
you knead them.
Yeah, but and dry them. Also, semolina pasta is not typically served as fresh egg pasta. It's not done. It's too hard. These fresh egg pastas are more typically made with, organic, like even 00 flour, for mm-hmm. example. Very fine flour.
Okay. What does 00 stand for?
The grind on it. So it's really fine.
It's very fine, yeah.
Okay. So there are different grades?
Yes.
What's the highest grade? In other words, 00 is the finest, I would assume?
Yeah, I don't think they're categorized that way. Okay. Like the, but Doppio, what they say, 00 is done for a pizza dough, for example, mm-hmm. and even some pastry preparations.
All right, Paul, you want to follow up?
I had one other question about the use of tomato paste in sauces and what that does, and can you make your own tomato paste?
All right.
Well, I'm sure you can make it. I have not done it, though. A lot of times the traditional Italian sauces have a little bit of tomato paste for added flavor and also a thickness for the sauce. You don't want to use it on its own, but you can add it to a tomato sauce.
You know, in Sicily, there's a tomato paste they call concentrato, which means concentrated, that's all. But what's interesting about it is it's a very long process. And you see in Sicily rooftops that are filled with tomatoes. This is the part of the world where tomatoes grow in a great abundance, right?
Yeah.
So you see in rooftops in these small villages, the roof is filled with these containers of tomatoes, and they're allowed to dry and dry and dry and dry, and later they are produced in some way, pulverized into this concentrate, which isn't that much different from tomato paste that you can buy in a store, but it's very expensive, and it's interesting. So, anyway, the typical use of tomato paste, as Dan is saying, is to thicken sauces that need a bit more structure.
So making it yourself, probably not worth the effort. You won't use that much.
No.
All right, Paul, what do you think?
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And let's go over to Marco in Sheffield. Marco.
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
My question is, do you like to use extra virgin olive oil in your fresh egg pasta?
When you're making the pasta itself?
Is that
the question? Yeah, just for smaller batch, just like a teaspoon, a very, very small amount. You don't want to add too much because it'll become oily, but a touch.
So you would say most of the time you would just use a little bit?
Yeah. Pretty much all the time you want to just use, for a small batch of, say 4-cup batch, you want to just use like a teaspoon of olive oil or 2 teaspoons of olive oil.
Okay.
Thanks, Marco. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye now. Vox Pop on WAMC. Still about 6 minutes left here, and we're joined by Chef Jim Rua of Cafe Capriccio and Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont. So, Jim, based on what you've said here on this program, you have spent a fair amount of time in Italy.
Yes.
What have you learned over there as far as your craft that you didn't learn over here?
As far as my craft, we have a travel company, so we take groups, and I've done this for 20 years. So over the course of 20 years, I've learned a great deal about regional Italian cooking. I can't say something specific, at the moment, but we've traveled all over the country, every year, sometimes two or three times in a year. We have enjoyed all of the regional cuisines. So we've learned, for example, that the regional cuisines are very different. If you go to Sicily, for example, you're going to be eating foods that are very different from Bologna, Florence, for example, where we spend a lot of time in Florence. So we have enjoyed learning about these regional techniques, regional cuisines, number one. Number two, I can tell you that the Italians really know how to cook pasta. That's something they don't mess up pasta.
Everybody.
Honestly, you can get bad meals in Italy. You really can, because there are places, tourist places and the rest of it. But pasta, there's a reverence. On the autostrada, the throughway, for example, you stop in one of these shops, and you can have great pasta.
Yeah.
So there's a reverence for pasta, and this program is about pasta. So.
Indeed it is.
What's
the most difficult pasta to make, Dan?
Anything that requires, that varies from the normal recipe of using, cutting back the normal amount of flouring, adding anything, like if you want to add a little bit of semolina or the buckwheat, those recipes become more difficult. I've made potato gnocchi and ricotta gnocchi. Potato gnocchi can cause you havoc.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it doesn't always come out. The potatoes vary a lot. It's the starchiness.
You find that as well, Jim?
Yes. That's another thing I can say about the Italians. They really have a way with gnocchi. I'm not so good at it for some reason. Why is it tricky, Dan? I don't know.
It's a really delicate process. I mean, even when we make ricotta, the milk varies a little bit with the fat content. Sometimes the ricotta is a little bit drier, a little bit moister one time. We have started using rice flour to have a gluten-free dish on it, which adds another structure.
Is that becoming more popular at your restaurant?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And how does it taste?
It does not taste any really that much different. The amount of flour that we actually use in the ricotta gnocchi is very small amount anyway. It's mainly ricotta and Parmesan and a little bit of egg.
Texture the same?
The texture is really close to being the same. Yeah. It becomes a little bit more difficult. But
Jim, do you find that there are a lot of requests now for gluten-free offerings?
Yes.
And how do you handle that?
Well, we have commercial gluten-free pasta in the house. Mm. We don't make, as a rule, we don't make fresh gluten-free pasta. But we have.
You need a separate kitchen almost to do that.
Well, there aren't that many people who are requesting it, to tell you the truth, in our restaurant. Mm. But we do, and I don't make it. I don't make it. We do make gluten-free dough for pizza, by the way. We do Neapolitan pizza.
And we've had a pizza maker on here who made gluten-free pie, and it was good.
It's good, but it's different. I mean, it's truly different because the protein, gluten, creates the texture that we love about pasta.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. It's the gluten that produces that fantastic texture in the pasta that we like so much.
Well, we're just about out of time here, and I wanted to thank Chef Dan Smith, and I want to thank Chef Jim Rua as well. We appreciate you guys being on. I've learned a lot about pasta, and we're going to give it a try this weekend, and I'll let you know next time you're on how badly I failed.
Oh, you're not going to fail.
We'll find out. Thanks to everybody who called in today. Support comes from Hudson Valley Fresh, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms, providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors, HudsonValleyFresh.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Thanks again to Chef Rua and Chef Smith. thanks to Zach Malloy, who cooked up the controls quite well today. Colleen O'Connell answered the calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. On Monday at this time, Alan Shartok will be in the house. It's a medical Monday. Have yourself a great weekend.